Tavkuf Laman Aleph Sif Aleph. Mitzvah Legalech Berev Yom Tov. It's a mitzvah to a person to cut his hair. So over here, Geluch is being used not necessarily in the form of shaving specifically, but haircuts. Emagalchem B'moyed. I feel Imgilah Kedem B'moyed. I guess the steps are: number one, Chazal want you to come in looking presentable. So be'er v'yamtiv. Beis be'er v'yamtiv. Ben kadem chatzos ben la'achar chatzos levad be'er chesel. Also this tavor la'achar chatzos come before the opposite of top samaches. It doesn't have to be, you know, done specifically earlier or specifically later. There is sometimes an argument that you do it closer in that indicates it's mamshing down the cover the yomtiv. But if you look at the Sharatzi and he says in Beis, he brings it from Gadim, the Chachila Yigaleh Kadim Chatzos, Sukkot and Beis. Preferably, you should do it before Chatzos. Now, he says the issue over here is Chazal limited taking haircuts before what is Man Mincha comes, before Yudam Mincha. Because I'm afraid of the possibility that a person starts getting a haircut and the scissors breaks in the middle of your haircut, so you're half cut. So the person's not going to interrupt and go down mincha. They're going to go look for a way to finish their haircut because they look quite freaky. So that the concern with that is that he'll end up missing mincha. So if you allow him to start before mincha, that's a chashash. I once gave a shiur on this. I mentioned this in a shiur. It's back in Cleveland, and so a person, you know, asked me. He says, you know, what are the chances of that happening? Or as a person put it, says, Rabbi, what was the last time in the middle of your haircut that the scissors broke?
And that there's no other.
And there's nothing else available. Like, what are the chances? He says, it's a very good question. He says, I think I would answer the question in the following way. So let's say, you know there's. There's a sign which says no trespassing, there is danger. So, you know, the regular, my dollar, I have a dollar bill in my hand, it flies over the fence. So I reach over, I pick it up, you know. It says danger, you know, dangerous dog, you know. So for dollar, I'm not taking a chance for dollar. $10 already, you know, no dog this way, you right? It says high voltage, you know, $10 I'm not going for. You have a $100 bill, goes over the fence, right? You know, big skull and crossbones, you know, sign the last two people died there. Maybe, you know, there's some point in time where, you know, the sign gets more and more intense and I need higher motivations to want to do that, right? But something that he said that the value of it is so important that even though the chances are minimal, right, you don't take a chance on it. You know? People, what are they telling you? Every single guy walks in and gets killed? No, they're saying your life is important enough that you don't take a chance on it. What Chazal was telling me is you don't understand what that means. You don't understand what mincha is. I'm not saying you don't understand what the haircuts are. We understand what haircuts are. You're right. It's one out of a million. So what are you worried about? Well, if you're dealing with something which is the choice is $10-15 billion, or the other name, you're worried about 1 in a million chances because it's worth a lot of money, right? It's a $5 nafkamina. I'm not worried about 1 in a million chance. If you see how Chazal understood mincha, you're right. The Chazal made a tikkun which in the last 2,000 years it was negated 3 times. So what the Chazal were fools? They weren't fools. I mean, you hear from how precious Chazal understood what mincha is. So for them, it was kedai to make a tikkun for those 3 times because mincha is precious enough to them to make the tikkun.
I could argue the fact that
you could,
and I will. That in those days, like everything else, scissors were at a premium. So a barber only had one pair of scissors. So, you know, therefore, if his scissors broke, you would have that thing. Nowadays, I don't even know if there's even in a million barbers that they only have one pair of scissors.
Okay, I understand.
So there were certain things that were negaya 300 years ago. They're not negaya today. So you're going to say, you know, you're going to say that's the minig and we're going to do it that way. That's fine. But to say that's a chashash, that's... There are certain things that we don't do anymore. Like, for example, in the day of, in Avelis, they used to have that you turn over the bed. Do you know anyone who turns over the bed now? I don't know of anybody who does that.
Mm. We do. Mm-hmm. We do, because the person said the Makor for the turning over the bed was a way to say you don't do Tashmish. And the modern expression of that is we cover the mirrors. The Makor for covering the mirrors is...
All right, but we don't take the bed and turn it upside down because it doesn't...
Because
it
the beds, they're made different. Yeah, I understand.
So I'm saying there's certain things that just... I would tie that. It doesn't apply today. I mean, I would never go to a barber. I mean, I don't have a big deal when I go to a barber anyway, but I'm saying when I go to the barber, I wouldn't go to a barber with one pair of scissors. I mean,
really?
I don't think you would either.
Let me ask you a question. If you had a barber with only one pair of scissors... But I asked him, when was the last time your scissors broke? He said, hasn't broken in the last 20 years. You can say, I'm sorry, you're only one pair of scissors. I'm not going. No, you wouldn't say anything.
Yeah, I go to a place where I have three barbers and he could borrow the other guy's scissors. Well, I mean, I never heard of such a thing.
But you tell me you're worried about this. Means you tell me you are worried about the scissors breaking then.
I don't think about it because I don't think it applies nowadays. I mean, there's certain things that apply. In those days, it applied because the scissors was probably
Once the Zomayin is the Khan.
Okay, so that I can buy into. I have no problem buying into that.
But the argument of that, what are the chances of it happening? Even the chances were, I don't think Bizman Chazal, the chances were happening where that was happening on a regular basis either. The point is that these things were important enough. Things are important. You protect. Things are less important. You protect less. You know, our attitude towards Mincha and the Chazal towards Mincha were two different attitudes.
And let me ask you this.
I really believe that's true.
In the situation, let's say the scissors broke and there's no other scissors. You can't wash your hands and daven Mincha at the barbershop.
You could.
Okay, so it's not like you're giving up Mincha.
The problem is
Mincha Betzibur, so now it's already...
No, because now we're afraid that the guy's going to say, oh, I look like a Meshuggah, and he's going to be so focused that he's not going to die Mincha. That's what Chazal we're afraid of.
All right.
Listen, that's what the Din says.
Yeah, I'm not arguing the Din, I'm just saying certain things were put in years ago that we do today, because that's how they did it.
Even then, I don't think the Meshuggah is... You know, you're right. Now, the average year, even if, let's say it happened once a year that the scissors broke. And all of those once a year it happened, so the guy says, and it was right before Mincha. The guy says, oh, yeah, that's Mincha, what else to do, you know? So it was one out of 100 didn't that Mincha either, because he was so worried about the looking like a Meshuggah, and they forgot that Mincha. But that was also why Chazal Bar Misakin.
Yeah,
even then, I don't think it was like this, like, wow, this was happening, you know, every second day, you know, with every third guy, you know what I mean? I don't think so. Chazal took Mincha much more seriously than we do. That I have no doubts about. That Chazal took Mincha much more seriously.
That is no question, but I'm saying, you know.
You agree to that also.
But I think things have changed because of technology also
And we take Mincha even less seriously nowadays also. That's also true. My point being, sometimes these type of questions... If you turn it around, you can understand a lesson of the direction. That's my point being.
Uh-huh.
My point being, instead of saying, it doesn't make any sense, just saying, well, maybe the point is that you don't understand where they're coming from. And from that vantage point, you know, it's a very important lesson. You see how important Mincha was to them. Instead of saying, what's the possibilities of it happening? The answer is, things which are very valuable, we worried about possibilities.
Yeah.
You know, you make a security system for the Hope Diamond. You know, you're very worried. But you make fences upon fences because Hope Diamond is very important, right? So Mincha is very important to them. So they make very big fences on it. Okay. Beis. Eimer galchin b'moyed afilim gilach kadem b'moyed. Okay. So you can't... So now, like this. Mikra din, what malach is involved? It's a malach of Geis is malacha, which is the Tzarech HaMoyed, should be mutter. It's not worse than any other malacha, which is the mutter of the Tzarech HaMoyed. But Chazal came along and said, no, we can't let you do it during the Moyed. And why is that? Because the attitude of people is, and if any person who's lived through Erev Pesach, they'll say, you know, if I can get a haircut called a Moyed, I'm going to get a haircut called a Moyed. Who needs an Erev Pesach?
So Chazal recognized the fact that if you're going to let a cholamoid, even from the guy who got a haircut, next year the guy's going to say, well, I need a haircut before, I'm going to get a haircut on cholamoid. So they said, no, there's no haircut, period. End the conversation. End the conversation, good, so now I'll make sure I'll get one beforehand. So if I want to make guarantee that people will enter Yom Tov looking presentable, I'm going to have to make certain limits that you can't do during a moed, even though Mikra Din and cholamoid really should be mutter for these things.
Because this means like shearing?
Because this is shearing, yeah.
Why should that be permitted? You're saying because we can share
animals? We can do anyone the Lama has malachas, if it's a tzarech hamayin, mikra din is mutter. So this should be one of the Lama has malachas, the tzarech hamayin is mutter. So if I need a haircut and a cholamoyin, it's a tzarech hamayin. I should look presentable and a cholamoyin. The tzarech says, yeah, but you're going to use that as a reason not to do beforehand.
Right.
And megachal hamayin. There is a kind of halacha, which we'll see later on, called mechavim malato hamayin. That if a person would consciously decide to make, you know, I have free time, then go do a chol hamoed, that's not mutter. So a person can't make a dentist appointment, a regular checkup. There'll be malachas involved, etc. During chol hamoed, a person needs an emergency to go to the dentist, can take go to the dentist. But you can't be mechaber malach to the moed, the chetchil, and this type of things. Okay. Emagachim hamoed, gimel. Who didn't see per rosh? You can't take a haircut either. So giluch was you know, it's being used in a broad sense. It also means that they would trim their beards. We shouldn't say that too loud, probably. Okay, you can't take a haircut either. El shadar can you go that they used to do giluch also. Even though these are things which are really personal grooming. Which would be something which really has a valid yom tov need, moyed need, and really should be mutter. For the hachi also b'sacha moyed kadesh she is there is the galat.
What's the difference between sipur rosh and the galfin?
Sipur rosh is here, giluch is here.
Says shaving.
It wasn't necessarily shaving. It was shaving, trimming. It was trimming. It was a type of trimming. They used to use scissors. It wasn't too close.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't getting you know. It wasn't with the razor. It was with the scissors. It wasn't with the razor. So,
but theoretically, if it was with scissors, if you could have done that before Yantif and then need it again during Yantif.
Right. So apparently they
so
used to do
is
it.
Why that an issue?
They,
I mean, you, let's say you did it before. Yantif.
There is actually.
You know what
there,
you were
supposed to do? Well, they didn't do Hiluach like we do on a regular daily basis. They did it like you know, once a month. But there is a discussion. There is Gradish Anoida Behuda, which says that the way we gluch, that we do gluch nowadays, which a person does it regularly every week or every day, whatever. So he's matir mechadash that it's mutter.
Who's this?
The Anoida Behuda.
Uh-huh.
But it has not necessarily been totally accepted across his psak on that. But it's definitely brought up. Can we argue that the word that the way we do it is a totally different way. We're doing it, so that's not what Chazal we're talking about.
We're afraid that people will say, you know, why don't you do it every Yom Tov when it's crazy? I'll do a Cholamoid when I have time. And you end up, and the first day's Yom Tov, looking like not presentable.
Menuvali means like disheveled?
Yeah, disheveled, yeah. That's a good word. Yeah, when it's used colloquially, a person's a menuvel, it's a much stronger lashon than being disheveled. But your menuvel means it's not presentable. Philim gilech, the su ain boy cheshash zeh, she comes to regular shul menuvel. A person, if he did it before Yom Tov, we're good. Do gilech atzmai gam kadam regal. He did it beforehand also. The person sees me doing it. So the Beis Yosef says that this argument is because you're creating a situation where even though I'm a good boy and I bedavka did beforehand, but the vis-a-vis the perception, people are not necessarily you know, aware of that. Okay. Gimel. person was an honest, he couldn't get a haircut, or he couldn't do giluach beforehand. So you could argue that guy, he deserves to be mutter during Chol HaMoed. No. They did not permit it. We'll see exceptions in Sifkat and in Sif Dalet. What's example of an oinus? Hey, filu ha'im ha'ya oinus, Sifkat and hey. Gan she never lo aveda ver regal, he lost an aveda, or lo ha'uman, or the barber lost an aveda. They couldn't give him his haircut. Other types of onus. Except we're going to give some cases which are exceptions in the upcoming sifim. So what's the difference? So why are the upcoming examples permitted in the average case not permitted? The hani anosin mufusamim magluim lekolhu. These were situations which were known, and people were aware of the fact that it's not possible to do a giluach at that point in time. So, example, we'll see a person was in jail. So their jail wasn't the modern American jail; it was a pit. You didn't get a haircut. You came out looking like you're there for 20 years. You had hair down to your toes. That was the way it was. They couldn't care less. So when the person got out of jail, everybody knew about it. The person got out of jail, everybody realized he couldn't get a haircut before. And he gets out of the mud, he can get a haircut. That's something which is you do him a force. Whereas a person lost an aveda, and he was busy running around trying to make sure he doesn't. That's a private thing that people don't necessarily know about that. So that because Chazal did not permit it. So people will see that he's doing it. They will not realize it's due to this circumstances, and they're going to conclude that you're allowed to get a haircut in Chol HaMoed, and they're going to do it themselves without any valid reason. So Chazal, in order to maintain the halacha, had to make a strong prohibition. Within the Misha Hayakhala, Shamar Shakhala, Kashum, Mesapir, Machbet Alav Khalya. There's an understanding that taking a haircut for a person who is ill sometimes, I'm not sure exactly why it affects him, but it can affect him adversely. Again, so that's not necessarily, not everybody knows that this person was sick, in the details. So that's something which Chazal did not permit. Now, the Shartzian in Sukkot and Zion he points out the following, that we'll see the list in Sifdal, and maybe we'll go back and look at the Shartzian again after we see the list in Sifdal. We'll see if this answer really fits all the examples that so Sifdal gives us the exceptions. So and based on our criteria, that means anything with the exceptions have to be things which are yiduim aforesim. Ve'elu megalchim b'moyed. So these are ones which are megalchim b'moyed. Misha yotzim basically as shivya. V'la'ayil panay legalchim b'moyed. A person who was redeemed from he was in captivity. And he did not have the opportunity to do this to get a haircut before Yom Tov. Misha Yotzim based a certain person was imprisoned. Phil Hayachovish Beyad Yisrael, Shayimanichim on the Galeach. Even if he was in a situation where they would have allowed him to get a haircut, but he wasn't so inclined. The situation is. Like Mishmar says, he was the emotional pain was such that he just couldn't wasn't in the mood of getting a haircut. So that's also a valid earnest. V'chein hamanuda shehtira lo beregel, a person who was in cherim, so a person who was in cherim, not allowed to cut his hair, and now when they removed the cherim during Chol HaMoed, so that's something which is pretty well known in the city. The guy was in cherim. And they remove the hair, and that's a pretty exciting, exciting thing. So that people would be aware. The next case is the challenge. Person had made a netter not to get a haircut. V'nishal al nidra beregel. He was able, the chacham found a heter for him during on Yom Tov, so he couldn't get a haircut before Yom Tov. The question is that what the Shartzin is going to ask, but it's not so much necessarily public,
right?
So the Shartzin will talk. We'll go back and look at that Shartzin, and he raises that question. A person who was traveling on the boat, so it wasn't necessarily an opportunity to get a haircut on the boat. And he arrives Cholamoid. Even if he didn't arrive Erev Yom Tov, but he right before Yom Tov. So also, we can understand that that he has status of an oinus in that situation. The purpose of his trip was a valid purpose. He had to go for pranasa purposes, whatever it is. And now he came back. So that's the person decided to go. He wants to go. He wants to go visiting, traveling the world. That's very nice. So we're not coming out to you to get a haircut. And then he came back right before Melchol Hamoed. So nobody asked you to go to Chalchila. Nobody, we're not going to give any hetter when you come back. Very happy that you went to see, to travel. But that's not a valid.
See, that's another example of, I wonder if that would apply today, because people travel all the time back and forth for Panasa. They fly back. They fly from one country to the other all the time. You wouldn't know necessarily that he came from Medina Sayyam. You wouldn't know that.
Well, again,
in those days, they probably meant because it was on a ship, and you were there for like a month, and
right. Again, probably you're. Yeah, this had to occur without.
They didn't imagine when they wrote this that you could fly from the United States to Israel in 9.5 hours.
I don't think there would be a heter nowadays.
Right. But,
unless you had a situation where a person, planned to get a haircut before Yom Tov, and there was this major delay, a major storm,
yeah,
and the guy gets it right before Yom Tov, but then everybody knows about it, right? Like, something like that.
Right.
It's a big, to do, Zion. L'hoya l'pinai. K'gon sh'yotze b'secha moed. He came out. He was the first case. He's in captivity. He was, he's being held by bandits or something of that sort, and they released him either techamayir ifile erev yomtiv samach chashecha shalhoyel shos legalech mevadim or right before yomtiv, in such a way they didn't have time to get a haircut right before yomtiv. And either he was released on Chol Hamoed, or he was released even Erev Yom Tov, but in such a way that he only got back to where he's released to without enough time to get a haircut before Yom Tov. Even he was being held in captivity beyond Yisrael Tess, became in Shubitzar, even though they would have allowed him to get a haircut. But just the pain of being in that captivity did not allow him to emotionally to deal with getting a haircut. It's interesting. It's one of the few places where it's a Gemara, that the Gemara was defined an emotional handicap as if it was the same level as a physical handicap. I mean, you get a haircut, so you chose not to get a haircut because you're in such pain. So that's your tough luck. No, it's so emotionally overwhelming being in the jail that it's like he couldn't get a haircut. Right. We do find in halacha that, emotional, psychological pain is significant, but it's not really cases in the Gemara, it's more in the Rishonim and the Achronim. Person who has a psychological illness, so we're working what malachas and mutter on Shabbos and those type of things, eating on out of Mishnah Berurah passing, the person who was what we probably call nowadays a clinical depression, real bona fide medical situation, even though there was no physical danger, illness. If the doctors feel that he needs to eat on the tinus to maintain his recuperation, it's mutter, because we're concerned about, you know, person that could commit suicide. So there's a sakana over there, you know. So it does exist, but here's an example where you have it explicitly in the Gemara, such a concept. Shtir lo beregel, shemikardim, hayosubik tadlakas, a person who's in chayrim can't get a haircut. Chayrim hare havi anus, mamashalo yilech mikardim, that which he didn't get a haircut beforehand was impossible. V'yesh chokim is that some make the following differentiation. Sirlo, the hecha shal yochel avakesh lefayesh shetir lo kardim beregel bol apies. If he could have, they put him in chayrim for a reason. Well, you know, it's like, you know, he's totally exculpable. It wasn't his fault. It wasn't his fault. Why are you in chayrim? You know, there's a reason why you're in chayrim. You know, so if he could have addressed that by correcting whatever the reason they put him in chayrim for beforehand, and he chose not to, so you can't call him an oinus. Havi pesheya v'asu l'galech b'regel. Again, this is all derban, because the raisa, it's a tzarcha moed, you're allowed to do it. So it's a derban, and so in a case where the poskim would say, listen, the maisa, that's the reality in the ground, they've only got the hetter right now, he couldn't get it beforehand, so now he's allowed to get a haircut.
Wasn't there a case in the Gemara where Tana had a machlekes about something, and they put him in the harem?
It was actually Rabbi Yehuda ben Hyrcanus. Yeah,
he couldn't give up on what he believed in.
Yeah,
okay,
right. So, again, but then there's not going to
easier said than done.
He's not going to get a heter cholamoid either in that case, situation. Yeah. I mean,
they never released him. I don't think.
Well, it's mechagas in the Mishnayos. The Mishnayos Edius discusses. One opinion says that he was mace in Cherim. One says that they never put him in Cherim l'chatchila. The Gemara's mashia that they did, it's to know whether he was really put in Cherim or not. The Gemara says it wasn't him, it was somebody. There's a town in the Mishnah 80 years that it wasn't really Ezra ben Hyrcanus, it was somebody else.
How do you translate?
I'm sorry. That was about the Gvai ben Mahalal. There was a shadow whether Gvai ben Mahalal was put in Kherim or not. That's Machlokes in the Mishnah.
Was
put in Kherim. But he died with Kheromai, but they were matter to Kherim after his nifter.
Yeah.
What?
Fayez
means it's to appease. I mean, you know, over here it would be to correct the situation, whatever the issue is. Now, let's say a person had made a netter not to take a haircut. And the Chacham only was able to find a heter to the netter on Chol HaMoed. Minishal Nidra Beregel, Vesh Cholkim Bezgam Bezeb. So again, so over here, Cholkim means not just Elam, means that they're arguing, it means also that they're going to differentiate. This depends. You're saying across the board heter, no, it depends. What's that? He couldn't find anybody who was able to address his issue and find a heter for him till Chol HaMoed. Masha'en came, in if he refused to go to the Chol HaMoed, then he changed his mind to Chol HaMoed. So you had an option of getting this heter before Yom Tov, and you chose not to. So you don't know, where's the oinus? However, the Shulchan Aruch holds it still mutter. The Maisa, at the end of the day, he was in a state which was asur, and now that's been removed at this point in time. We can't call him a peshe because you could have taken care beforehand. I mean, if a person made a netter not to get a haircut, obviously there was some reason why he made that netter. He felt there was some valid reason why that should be so. And that took him through Yom Tov, and that was his original plan. And then he realized, you know what, that's not a good idea. Okay, so you're going to fault him because he came to that recognition now, Cholamoid, that you should have realized beforehand. I didn't realize beforehand. I should have, but I didn't. It's not like, you know, I could have, and I said, you know, I'm too lazy to go to the rabbi. It wasn't, you know, that might be true, but it's not the case. The point is, person came to recognition, it's not a good idea at this point in time, not beforehand. I mean, he was planning to, you know, maintain his netter or whatever, his naziris, whatever it would be. You know? you know, I just want to point out over here, we're talking about a real Hatar Sadorim. It wasn't, you know, that, you know, we do this, the pro forma thing. We're talking about the person made a netter and specifically, you know, stated he's not going to do this. And now to be matter, you have to find a bona fide heter. I had a situation, somebody came to me for a heter. Were you there when somebody came to me for a heter?
I think I overheard a little and tried not to listen to it. Yes.
Somebody came to me for a heter, you know, that he wants a matter in a heter situation. I said, you know, well, had you been aware of X, would you make the heter? He said, yes. I said, so what's your heter? He said, but I don't want a heter anymore. That's very nice, but that's not a heter. A heter is either, you know, had you realized the situation would deteriorate to this, you said, yeah, if I had I realized, they wouldn't have done it. So that's called a pesach. So good, so I have a way to make your heter, that's a pesach. Or you have to make correct, you regret the fact that you ever made it. Ask him, do you regret the fact you ever made it? He said, no, it was very good for me up to this point. Now, so he has no charot to make, or he has no pesach. So by being out to my netter, no, I can't be out to your netter. I need to find some argument why, had you been aware of, you wouldn't have made it. And we couldn't, you know, we tried a few different things. And he said, all of me said, I would have done it anyway. So I said, okay, so I have no heter for you. He says, well, so Rabbi so and so says, go back to Rabbi so and so, leave me out of it, you know. I spoke to Rabbi Selinger afterwards, and he explained to me what his thought process was. I said, okay, good. Yeah, no problem. Just leave me out of it. So, Davka Medina Sayam, the Farsa Milsa, Vadarach Hacher Loy. It's only if he's coming from either this Yam in a sense there's a great distance, or it's coming, you know. There was a significant travel involved in it. He came over a desert, he came over the Yam, he came from a place where the people in town said, wow, the guy just, you know, he just came, you know, he just traveled through the desert to get here. So that creates a pirsum, and that's the heter is based on that. The truth is, any distant place, all of a sudden the guy shows up in Eretz Yisrael, but Bisman, the Gemara, you know, Bisman, the Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, where he's coming from Australia, you know. He's coming from China. I didn't go with I went land route the whole way. He said, yeah, but that's extraordinary that you came from China, you know. Nowadays, it means that you got on the plane and you came, you know, 12 hours later, you're in Eretz Yisrael, you came from China, Shkayach, you know. In those days, that taka was something which was quite mefursim. So that would be mutter. There's a ritvo which says anything beyond the city is called Medinas Yam and it's mutter. And it says the tzarchin, and we find that that's a difficult idea to understand why that should be mutter. But the Bnei Chanami nowadays, a person. So there's no haircuts available in China, like in Nebuch, you know, there's no barbers in China, like, you know, over there, the person would start traveling, and he's on the road for weeks, and that was it. There was no option to get a haircut at that point in time. Nowadays, you could have gotten a haircut where you were. You got the plane 2 days before Pesach, and you came, and your plane got delayed. You had the right before Pesach. Who asked you to wait till last minute to get a haircut? Or go on a boat, you can get a haircut on the boat, you know. I mean, nowadays there's, you know, the big ones for sure. I'm sure there's a barber shop on the boat, you know.
Everything else.
Major salon, I'm sure there's a major salon there, you know. The Cholamoid. Person came right the Cholamoid. Now, Dafka Shiloh Bola Yishuv Ad Cholamoid. So he arrived into a settled area by Cholamoid. So the person came, he travels through cities. So no, there was no cities he was traveling to until he arrived here in Cholamoid. Dimbob Erev Yomtev Bimokim Yishuv. If he arrived in Erev Yomtev, not where he wanted his final destination, but arrived in a settled place, so get a haircut there. And he arrived there with enough time to get a haircut beforehand. Actually, bought the base or ad cholamoid. Ain't so honest. So you look at lech, but he could have gotten a haircut there. So that's not an excuse. V'ayim yomagin rabbi shakasa. Da'av kishayim b'makim yishuv b'shtayim b'shlesh yomim kadam haregel. V'achim b'arav yomtiv lo ha'ibi yishuv. G'gon shiyashu lo ya'oz ala svinah. So it'll be in the following situation. He says that he arrived in city X, which wasn't his final destination, 3 days before Pesach. He says, you know, but it's not my final destination, I gotta keep going. He didn't get a haircut then. He could have, he didn't. And he plans to, with the plans to get back in time for Pesach, it didn't work out. He ends up arriving Chalom Moed or Pesach right before this month, but not enough time to get a haircut then. So what is he? I mean, he could have gotten a haircut 2 days ago in Makim Yishu, wherever it was. Yeah, but since that wasn't his final destination, he planned to go further, and Pidar Hateva, he could have gotten there normally with time to get a haircut before Yom Tov. It didn't work out like that. So now he's an onus. He was an onus. You don't say that since he could have gotten a haircut 2 days ago, wherever he was, that he loses his status of an onus. He believed he had time here. Now, this heter of an yam is if a person went for a valid bona fide need. So he said like this, but not if he went latayel, but he says that's if you're going from Eretz to the Chutz Lords. So what's that about? Who shall yatza perish? The Eretz Yisrael, the Eretz Yisrael, you're traveling from Spain to South Africa. You're traveling from Eilat to the Golan. You know, okay, in those days that was a long trip. They did it by foot, right? Imagine it's nice and small on the map, but the reality is if you walk from Eilat to the Golan, it'll take you a few days. You know, take you.
You're counting Eilat as Eretz Yisrael.
Okay, I'm not getting involved in that. Okay, you know, Be'er Sheva. Okay,
yeah, I think you're safer there. Listen, there's some people that they never want to leave Eretz Yisrael. They never want to leave Eretz Yisrael. They don't go to Eilat.
They don't go to Eilat. Yeah, listen, I think that Lubavitch keeps today's Yom Tov in Eilat.
Yeah,
it's Chutz L'Aretz. Even though the purpose was just for traveling, but it wasn't an isser involved, so it wasn't a special heter, but it wasn't an isser. Then it turned out that he didn't have time to get a haircut. It's mutter. He had right to go. There was no isser involved. A person could go for pranasa purposes. That's a valid need to go. Or lir is penechaveroi, or even if to go to greet somebody that the person had some relationship with somebody, he felt he needed to go to see the person. To chashad bar mitzvah, shemutu lo tzei tzmi eretz yisrael b'shvil zeh. That allows a person to travel to chutz l'aretz for that purpose. Those are valid needs. However, Mashenki and the Tal Baalma, he's not wants to go traveling. So a person living in Israel, I want to go see Italy. Why? Because you know, no. You live in America, you want to go see Italy, isn't it? You know, you want to leave Israel but to go to Italy because there's a char of yours who's come who lives in Italy, which you haven't seen in a long time. It's important to maintain the kasher. Mutter. Going for panasa is also mutter. Now there is the Masechta Dishah over here quotes. There's this discussion of that yitzhiyah lepanasa is called a valid tzarech. Over there, actually, in Reish Mem Ches, it really bumps it up to it's more than just a valid. It's called a tzarech mitzvah. There was the issue where there was a person's not allowed to start water travel, traveling on the seas within 3 days before Shabbos. You have to start prior to 3 days before Shabbos. This person wants to go on a boat cruise. he can't start it starting from Tuesday night, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. A person has to start Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday before Shkia. However, it says if you're going with Tzarech Mitzvah, you're allowed to go even Erev Shabbos. You're allowed to start even Erev Shabbos. And the other Ramah says going for Parnassah purposes is called Tzarech Mitzvah. A person needs to go for Parnassah. He has something to support his family. That's a valid need. So what is called Parnassah? Parnassah means you're starving otherwise. It means generally you have money, you want to make more money. So there are most, even if it's just laharviach, you want to be able to, and I imagine there's some limit. You know, the guy's, you know, he has 50 million. He wants to have another 50 million. That's not what we're talking about. But the person wants to expand. They shouldn't, you know, be just limited, just enough to eat on. He wants to have Parnassah b'ravach, should be able to be live normally. It's also called Tzarech Mitzvah. So Pashi would apply the same concept over here also. Or the gold is also called a valid tzarech. Okay, let's hold it.